This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Andy Robbins talks with the founder of the Ann Arbor-based Thrive Collaborative, Matt Grokoff. He explains how net zero homes can generate as much energy as they use. But first, Mars is now closer than it normally is to Earth. As a result, there's a better chance to see it this month than there has been since 2003. The Kalamazoo Astronomical Society is presenting a Mars Watch 2018 at the Kalamazoo Nature Center Friday, July 27th, and Saturday, July 28th at 8 o'clock both nights. Richard Bell is the president of the Kalamazoo Astronomical Society. He's also an astronomy instructor at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. Thanks for being here.
It's great to be here.
So if people turn out at the Kalamazoo Nature Center July 27th and 28th, what's going to happen?
Yeah, we're going to have both indoor and outdoor activities inside in the Nature Center's Interpretive Center. We're going to have snacks for everyone. We're going to have Mars-related displays and Mars presentations on both Friday and Saturday, different presentations on both nights.
And so therefore, even if it rains or if it's not a great night to actually see Mars, there is still going to be something going on related to Mars.
Exactly. The indoor stuff will go on rain or shine. But if we do have clear enough skies to view Mars, we'll definitely be out by our observatory at the Nature Center with a whole variety of telescopes set up to view the red planet. We'll check out a few other things while we wait for Mars to get high enough.
And then inside, what exactly will you be talking about?
Well, Friday, a member of the Grand Rapids group, Dave DeBryan, he'll be talking about the exploration of Mars since the space age. And then on Saturday, I'll be focusing on the observational history of Mars, you know, starting with Galileo all the way up toward the end of the 19th century, and I'll also be talking about how you can best view Mars for yourself.
All right, we'll come back to that in just a little bit. Explain to us who are not astronomers and people who maybe don't understand how we see things in the sky real well. Why is it that right now we are able to see Mars better than we normally could?
Right. So, of course, both Earth and Mars orbit the sun. And occasionally, every 26 months, Earth catches up to Mars in our faster, speedier orbit around the sun. So as we catch up to Mars, it appears to get brighter and larger in the sky. And that's not really unusual because, again, it happens every 26 months. But Mars has a fairly elliptical orbit. You know, it's not as circular as, say, the Earth's orbit. So every 15 to 17 years, we get a special type of opposition called a perihelic opposition, which means Mars is in opposition at the same time it's closest to the sun, which we call perihelion. So that's where the term perihelic opposition comes. And of course, as you mentioned, the last great opposition was in 2003, and that one was very historic because technically Mars was closer to Earth than it was in 60,000 years. But this one is basically just as good. Back in 2003, Mars was about 25.1 arc seconds in angular diameter. And this year, it maxes out at about 24.3. So to put that in simple terms, you know, it's a difference of roughly one arc second. And your pinky at arm's length is about 1 degree of the sky. And basically, one arc second is 1/3600th of a degree. So the difference between now and 2003 is basically non-existent. So we'll probably have smaller crowds this time than we had in 2003 because we had like 1,200 people for Mars Watch in 2003. But really, it's just as good. So everyone should come out and enjoy our activities.
What are some of the factors that maybe we cannot control that might influence how well we can see Mars on any given night, any one night?
Right. Obviously, number one is Earth weather. You can't control the weather here, and you can't control the weather on Mars because, as people may have heard, there's a global dust storm. And the same thing happened to us in 2001 for that Mars Watch. You know, we had perfectly clear skies here on Earth, but Mars was basically like a fuzzy orange dot. And it's getting a little better now. We might still be able to see some surface features. It's not as intense as it was in 2001, but Mars might be a little fuzzier than we hoped for, but you'll definitely be able to see some surface features.
Can you see Mars right now if you look up? I mean, your event is July 27th and 28th, but right now, is it possible to look in the sky and see Mars?
Oh, absolutely. You can see it. Right now, Mars rises a little after sunset, Of course, on opposition night, it'll rise right at sunset because it's opposite the sun in the sky. That's what we call it, opposition. So if you're out, you know, maybe 10, 11 o'clock and look toward the southeastern sky, you can't miss it. And then by roughly 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, if you look due south, you'll see this dominant orange-red star in the southern sky, and that's Mars. It absolutely draws in your attention. It's basically brighter than anything else in the sky at night besides the moon and Venus. So you can't miss it. It is an imposing sight.
And it's always that time of day. The time of day doesn't shift at all, you know, night to night, anything like
right.
that.
Right. As we get away from opposition, it'll rise earlier and earlier. So, but right now, you know, right now and for the next couple of weeks, Mars will be at its absolute brightest.
What's our time window here where we're still going to get a good view? Is there, you know, what's the point on the calendar where we start saying, yeah, it's really not that special anymore?
Yep. It'll be at its peak again at the end of July. It'll still be really good throughout the month of August and maybe even into September a little bit. But after that, the Earth begins to really recede from Mars. We pass it, we lap it, and it'll start to get dimmer and smaller again. But really, for the rest of the summer, we should have really great views of Mars.
So let's talk a little bit about that history of Mars observation. How, you know, you mentioned Galileo. Is that the first point in history we can find where somebody actually observed Mars from Earth?
Right. Galileo was among the first to view the sky with a telescope, and he was the first to view Mars with the telescope. But all he saw was like a little disk. His telescope wasn't really capable enough to reveal any detail on the surface, but he was the first to view it through a telescope.
And from there, did telescopes simply get better? Is that what happened?
Or are there
some other things along the way?
Telescopes got better than with the famous Dutch astronomer Christiaan Huygens. He was the first to see a surface feature on Mars, one of its most famous surface features called Syrtis Major. And he was also the first to figure out that Mars had roughly a 24-hour day. Basically, he waited for that feature, Syrtis Major, to spin once around. So that's the basic way we figure out a day on a planet.
What are some other highlights along the way that you think are important in terms of how we understand how we're now able to view Mars?
Well, probably one of the most colorful areas of Mars history with the telescope started with an Italian astronomer named Giovanni Schiaparelli. He started observing these linear features on Mars' surface that he called canali, which in Italian usually means channels. But of course, people translated it as canals, which suggests canal builders. And so people began to think there was intelligent life on Mars. And then that got the attention of the rich Bostonian Percival Lowell. And he basically made Mars his life. He really began to observe it. He thought he saw the canals as well. And so he came up with this crazy notion that you know, the Martians were a dying race. They were trying to transport water from the polar caps to their thirsty equatorial cities. And then that helped build a Mars mania, which led to like H.G. Wells's War of the Worlds, which of course Orson Welles made famous in radio history, which I'm sure you know about.
Right.
And then eventually, finally come the space age, we realized the canals absolutely weren't there. Because even up to the 1950s, you could still find maps of the canals and people wondered about them. But finally, when we got our first close-up images in the late 60s, we realized they just weren't there. They were absolutely optical illusions.
But there was a myth that built up over such a long period of time. It's
yeah.
quite interesting how that kind of, to this day, I suppose, always sticks in the American psyche.
Right. Yep. Yeah, there's still, you know, stuff like, you know, people wonder about intelligent life out there. And it kind of began with that, you know, like H.G. Wells's book was the first book of like modern science fiction, you know, with alien invasions. So it kind of began with him. And that was from the observations of Mars. It's what we thought we saw.
Does that give Mars perhaps a unique place in our culture as compared to the other planets, that we think of it differently than we do, you know? I mean, proximity, of course, helps, that it's closer to us than,
right.
than you know, Saturn or Jupiter. But does that perhaps explain you know, why we use the term Martian and those sort of things to talk about Mars.
Yeah, there's of course Mars's colorful history, and of course the main reason of that, you know, why don't we ever mention Mercury or Venus? You know, Mercury is so close to the Sun, we really can't see any surface features at all, and Venus is covered in a perpetual layer of clouds, so you can't even see the surface. And of course Jupiter, Saturn, etc. We know they're gas giants, and so those are totally different types of planets. So Mars is the nearest planet whose surface we can see. So, you know, again, we've observed it since the invention of the telescope. And then things just kind of went from there. And also it has that, you know, that distinct red color. We do call it the red planet, but it's really only red when it's further away. You know, right now it looks more of an orangey color. And of course, that much of advertising, you know, focuses on the color red, you know, look like Coca-Cola or, mm-hmm. you know, of course, it's been proven that, you know, police pull over red cars more than any other color. So red definitely has that influence on our psyche. So when we see it in the sky, like I said, you know, you can go out and look at Venus right now. It's very bright and very white. It looks very beautiful, even though Venus is a really nasty place. But then you see Mars and then you see that color and it just, you know, it just pulls at your soul.
And it's a planet where we have landed spacecraft. We've been able to see what is actually there. As you say, that should sort of put to rest the idea that there were these, you know, canals and whatever that might have existed before. But it also allows us to see things in a way that we can't see them otherwise.
Right. The whole canal myth, that basically died a quick death with the first Mariner missions in the late 60s. But then, you know, since that time, we've basically explored Mars than any other planet except for the Earth. You know, we've sent more orbiting missions to Mars than any other planet. We've sent more landers and rovers to Mars than any other planet because simply it is the most Earth-like. It's, of course, not a twin of the Earth. It's only half the size. The atmosphere is only 1% as dense. But it does have many Earth-like characteristics. But in a way, it's also a lot like the Moon. So really, Mars is a hybrid planet. It's like the Moon, it's like the Earth, but it's really its own planet.
So you also give people an idea of how they can best observe Mars for themselves, perhaps just as amateur astronomers, if you will. What are the best ways?
Right. Yeah. In my talk, I'll focus on the telescopes I recommend, which is like a 4-inch refracting telescope, you know, with a 4-inch lens. But I've used much smaller telescopes. When I was a kid, you know, I observed my first perihelic opposition was in 1988. And I just used a 60-millimeter refractor, you know, like you get at a standard department store. And I saw quite a bit with that. And I've even used, you know, roughly, you know, 3-inch refractors. So right now, pretty much any telescope will show you some features. But if you really want to see Mars, you want at least a 4-inch refractor with a 4-inch lens, or maybe like a 6-inch reflector, you know, with a 6-inch mirror. And then, of course, you want to use various filters, like a red filter will help bring out Mars's dark surface features. A blue filter will help bring out the polar caps and clouds. And, of course, there are even special Mars filters you can buy that help reveal features on Mars as well.
Can you get a telescope that is relatively affordable that's going to let you see what you want to see with Mars?
Yeah. There's a type of reflector, a 6-inch reflector called the Dobsonian. They basically look like cannons, and you can get a 6-inch Dobsonian for about $250. You know, I've seen people spend, you know, $150 on a scope that really isn't good at all. So just for $100 more, you can get a scope that'll show you Mars really well. And of course, then you can use it to observe the Moon, the other planets, and all the wondrous deep sky objects, you know, like star clusters and galaxies and stuff like that.
Would people find that the Kalamazoo Astronomical Society might be a place where they can learn a little bit more about this, might find out some ways that they can observe the night sky if that's something that they're interested in, but maybe haven't really explored it yet?
Yeah, absolutely. Aside from Mars Watch, you know, we do host public observing sessions at the Kalamazoo Nature Center twice a month from April to October. And so, you know, for the rest of the season, we'll have pretty decent views of Mars and pretty much everything else. And, of course, if you are interested in getting the telescope, you know, you don't want to rush and buy one now to see Mars. But if you're just thinking about getting one, we're the place to come to. You know, you can come out to the Nature Center. We usually have a whole variety of telescopes out there, and you can check them out, see what they can do. Because, you know, you can look at pictures of telescopes online. You can see them on like a showroom floor if you can find one. And but they don't tell you what they can do. You know, the best way to know what a telescope can do is come out and look through one. And so that's one of the reasons why we hold public observing sessions. And frankly, some people will just never want to get a telescope, but they like to look through them. So that's one of the reasons why we hold the public session. So if you don't have a telescope for Mars or anything else, come see us at the Nature Center July 27th, July 28th, and we'll show you Mars. Jupiter will be in prime view. Saturn just recently had its opposition too. So we have all kinds of great planets right now. They're all in prime view.
So when is the next time that Mars will be this visible?
Of course, we'll have another opposition in 26 months. Mars will again be almost as good. It'll just be 2 arc seconds smaller than it is now at its maximum. So really, that's again not much. But the next perihelic opposition, where it's as close as it is now, it'll actually be a little bit closer, is in September of 2035. Because again, you get these perihelic oppositions every 15 to 17 years.
Richard Bell is the president of the Kalamazoo Astronomical Society and an astronomy instructor at Kalamazoo Valley Community College. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The Kalamazoo Astronomical Society is presenting Mars Watch 2018 at the Kalamazoo Nature Center Friday, July 27th and Saturday, July 28th, beginning at 8 o'clock both nights. A link with more details can be found at wmuk.org.